welcome to another episode of How Are You Holding Up, a mental health podcast by the depressed, for the depressed. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Chris.
And the first question I want to ask is, Chris, how are you holding up?
A little stressed out. It's been a few weeks, actually, since we recorded an episode. Hey, spoiler, guys. Guess what? Peeking behind the curtain, those last three episodes, we recorded them like a week. Ha ha! Fooled ya. No, that's, we didn't fool you. It was just, we just made three episodes, and then you came and you went on a vacation.
I did. I went away for 10 days.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I did. I was surrounded by family, and we went out into the redwoods and stuff, so that was nice.
That sounds very nice. Yes. I'm back on projects for work I can't talk about, which is equally amazing and fun and incredibly stressful, and it leads to certain moments where I tend to just kind of zone out for a good portion of the day. Not when I'm at work, obviously, but the rest of the day, my mental energy is so absolutely drained by doing what I do that I'm just kind of a husk of who I used to be in terms of a human being. And now I am just a blob.
But that... 1 to 10, how stressed are you?
Oh, God.
1 being, I'm so relaxed. I am sitting in a warm bath water, drinking delicious things in my most relaxed.
I would say a good 5.
Okay.
Good 5.
So you're stressed, but you're not...
I'm not ripping my hair out, yeah. And I'm not like... counting the hernias that are going on, the ulcers that are accumulating in my stomach. No, this is a fair amount of just, I'm okay.
So any ambient strange noises you may be hearing is Chris's delightful dog.
Yep, you got to meet her last episode when she was very chill and not quite so noisy. But now she's decided that the bed in the background is somehow not comfortable enough despite being made of memory foam. So now she's decided that she's going to attack it for all it's worth. Yes. And I feel guilty making her wait outside where she'll probably be sad.
Emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're weird.
Yes.
Speaking of emotions... I'm sure that many of you out there who have depression and feel the ever-climbing vines of angst and hatred and, oh my god, I want to get all this shit out of me, kind of climbing up your mental, what's the word I'm looking for? Your mental terrace.
You're on your own here, bud. You're going deep.
Sorry, my word painting. I spilled word paint all over it. So as I was saying, yes, you are currently in the midst of feeling pretty down.
So how am I holding up?
How are you holding up?
The other day I was talking with my sister, my older sister, and we were discussing the podcast, actually. And we were discussing, and also just things about life. I had had an interview for a job I was really excited about. And I was discussing the fact that it was impossible for me to go and get my car washed. Not because I didn't have the time, because I had about 4 days of time. I just could not go out into my car and drive somewhere new and park my car in neutral and sit in it while we went through the cool foamy things. I couldn't do it. It was too... scary and anxious for me. And then we kept talking and she was like, well, what are your signs of depression? And we were discussing the podcast and I stopped in the middle and I said, you know, I think I might be heading into a depression right now. And it reminded me that it's hard to, when you're in it, when it's happening, it's hard to really catch the signs easily until somebody kind of, I don't know, there's some kind of like mirror of yourself back to yourself sort of a thing, you know, somebody reflecting how you are, like the fact that I don't remember the last time I took a shower, or I eat at weird times and I've been going to bed at either 3, 4, 5 in the morning, or I've been taking 2 sleeping pills at 8 and sleeping for 14 hours. I'm kind of in a weird funk. I don't really know for sure when it started, but I have a guess when it started getting worse.
and that guess, I'm sure it's a good one, huh?
Yeah. So I think a few things leading up to it made it worse for the... Some of the people who I would consider my strong support system have been dealing with stuff in their life. Some of them without much communication as to why they are suddenly gone. And then I got a message from a family member who has been told not to contact me.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I contact him first. And it was kind of a, you know, hey, Lindsay, your birthday's coming up. So is mine. And... you know, I'd like to meet and talk and, but it was, there was like this tinge of putting guilt onto me, the fact that I had taken away our relationship, etc. This is a relationship that was very abusive the majority of my life, and there were good times, of course, but really kind of screwed me up. Well, definitely ruined a lot of my 20s and,
To say that it's a toxic relationship is putting it mildly.
Yeah. So, anyway, so having that come up and having sort of these people that I would talk to every day disappear and all of that kind of a culminating into depression.
So, you mentioned that you're definitely feeling it coming on. You're feeling the... not wanting to shower, not eating at the right times, the lack of being able to go out and just live life. But what are the mental processes that you're kind of going through right now? Like you've got your thoughts that are keeping you in yourself. What are those like right now?
There's a lot of, I think, like, abandonment stuff coming up. Like, oh, of course these people aren't reaching out to me, even though I've reached out to them, because I'm too emotional, or I'm too much. I expect too much from people, and, or I'm just not a good friend. I put too much on people, yeah. So a lot of self-loathing. Trying not to, though, like being aware that I'm doing it, mm-hmm. and then getting busy. And I think part of this podcast will be talking about escapism.
Yes.
I think when you're really depressed toxically, I think it's always a little toxic, but when you're being toxic to yourself, you have to use escapism.
Absolutely.
To not go down too deep in that. And and it's not so much I don't want to shower. It's just like time that I would shower, I don't make time for things that I should. I don't think about... my mind is fuzzy. If you can't tell by the way I'm talking, I don't know if it's coming through at all, but I'm just not really very clear right now. And I feel like I'm just kind of a step away from being very...
It's very much a fog of war kind of situation. Yeah. Where you're feeling those thoughts, those feelings, and you know that you're feeling them, and you can't really shake them because they're not just thoughts in the forefront of your mind. They're in the back of your mind. They're in the sides of your mind. They are all-encompassing, and they are ever-present. They may not be loud, but they're definitely there.
Yeah.
It's already difficult for folks who have to just kind of deal with these thoughts as it is, but when you feel yourself going into such a deep depression that you can't even... it becomes that ever-present fog.
I think that's the thing for me that right now that's weird is... it's not even that I wake up every day sad. I'm just waking up gone. I'm just kind of disconnected, and I just don't really feel much of anything. And I... oh, we were talking about the spoon theory.
Yes, spoon theory. For those of you out there who are unaware of spoon theory, it applies mostly to chronic illness, but it can also apply to mental health as well. The basic premise is that you have so many spoons that you can use throughout the day. And each activity that you do, every single action you take, every single thing you think, takes a spoon. at least one spoon. Some activities can take multiple spoons. You can have your 10 spoons for the day, and you can even try and use more spoons, but that will just take spoons from tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that. You mentioned that the car wash, just going somewhere new, just sitting in a car wash. It is so mentally exhausting and so mentally taxing. This is where this really comes down to, is you've already exhausted all of the spoons you have at your disposal. And people who find a way to try and access more spoons, it's like, sorry guys, I only have so many.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to describe. It's hard for you to comprehend because you have like 30,000 spoons.
Yeah.
I have 10.
Yeah, I think that works really well for social stuff for me, especially. I had something I was supposed to do last night, hang out with a friend, and I just canceled. And we're not super close friends, so I don't know if it would have been. It would have been one of those things where you have to almost put on a facade of, hey, I'm happy and great and interesting, and sure, I'm going through this one thing, but we're not going to sit and focus on it because who wants to sit around and talk about, you know, the dark stuff all the time? Nobody wants to do that. So, and you know, the funny thing you were saying, what were some of my mental processes with this depression that I've noticed? One of the things is I started getting down on the podcast. I started feeling like no one's listening to it. Nobody, this isn't going to reach anybody. This isn't going to help anybody. And we're putting ourselves in a really vulnerable position. And why are we doing that? So then when I get to see some of the comments or hear some of the feedback, it's just, it's really nice.
It's something that we haven't touched upon in the podcast yet. Getting started, obviously, we had no idea that the people that we would reach out to and that the people who would reach back out to us, you guys are phenomenal. Like,
yeah,
there's no words to say just how much, not only like we are thankful that we are able to help some of you out, but we also cannot express how thankful we are for how much you guys are helping us.
Yeah.
Like, being able to get together, make this podcast once a week, it's already, like, it gave me, personally, it's given me a sense of purpose. It's given me a sense of activity. Like, I mean, I'm trying my damnedest to keep a straight face on this, but it's thank you, like, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
Mine too.
It's like, yeah.
I think also kind of gives me a sense of, this is weird, but a sense of community. Like, absolutely. A depression community, because I've never really joined any help groups or anything like that. And so to hear other people just be like, oh, I didn't know that I did that, or hearing you say that was such a relief, that was really big for me. So thank you guys for all the positive stuff.
Yeah. And really, like, we're going to keep going. We have...
Yes, yes, yes.
we have a list of topics that we are planning to get to. We have about half a year's worth of topics to go through, and honestly, like, if I haven't mentioned it before, please, by all means, you are more than welcome to reach out to us if there's a topic you want us to talk about specifically. If there's something that's really got you going, like, you want to hear more people, like, we have one topic in particular that I know I'm incredibly, like, excited to be talking about, and that is going to be just, I don't really know how to put this any way other than that, death.
Yeah.
Dealing with death while you're already a depressed person is already, like, forget about it. Like, you're trying to deal with that. Trust me, that's an episode in and of itself, and we are going to get to it. I promise you that. But for today, how do you feel? Do you feel like you've gotten...
Yeah, I want to move on.
You want to move on?
Yeah.
Let's move on then. I think a good place to move on to, appropriately enough, is distractions.
Yay!
We will escapism in general. You practice it. I practice it. Everybody listening practices it in one way, shape, or form. And I think we're now in a new age of escapism.
I agree with you. And I think we'll get to questions, I guess, at some episode. But one of the things that somebody asked was how far is too far to go into escapism, sort of? And I thought that was a fascinating question because it's easy to say, well, you know when you're going too far into escapism, like, you know that you shouldn't. But, and I think escapism is often seen as a negative thing, but like I was saying earlier, for me, in some ways, escapism is absolutely pivotal because I am a worrier and I am a pessimist. And so right before I go to sleep, if I'm not listening to a audiobook or meditation tape, I will lay there in the dark for about 4 to 7 hours and I will think about all the horrible, embarrassing, terrible things I've done, didn't do, should have done, you know, all of the awful stuff that you shouldn't be thinking of when you're trying to drift off to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me anyway, to distract those negative thoughts and listen to something pleasant or something that is forcing me to give myself self-love, like a meditation tape, is really good. And I know that some people would say meditation tape isn't escapism, but in a way, I mean, if you... Right?
I mean, I'm when I listen to meditation, you do guided meditation. Right?
Yeah, it's like stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, I also do guided meditation because when I try to meditate without somebody telling me what I'm supposed to be doing, then I'm not meditating anymore. I am now asleep. I am just sleeping to sleep sounds. It's not even effective in trying to get me to think outside of myself. It is simply, I'm gonna go sleep now. So what I usually find myself doing, because I'm also of the mind that I can't sleep in total silence or else I'm not really sleeping, I find myself lately putting on a YouTube playlist of like some YouTube channel that I'm a fan of, whether it's something like Funhouse. Or I'll watch this guy, Chris Fix, who does like car videos on YouTube. All he does is teach you how to repair your own car. And I like falling asleep to that because I feel like I'm learning.
Oh, in your slumber.
I'm learning something about cars in my slumber. None of that knowledge has stuck. But he's got a way of delivering that's fast paced enough.
Sure.
And almost that's one of the weird like things about my noises is I like having rapid fire stuff. It feels like it's keeping pattern with my brain.
Okay.
So I can keep my thoughts at the same pace, but they'll drown out in the rapid fire of the YouTube video playing in the background.
Now, when do you do escapism to a point that you can tell it's destructive?
I feel like for me, destructive escapism is going to fall under the category of when you only have the one thing to escape.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
When you have the sole thing to escape to, and you're not escaping to anything else, if you're varied in your escape, you feel like, you know, oh, I'll do like an hour here this day, or I'll do an hour here this day. It's different than when you do, I'm gonna do 8 hours straight of this one thing, and that's gonna be my day. Like, that's right there. That's becoming self-destructive in your escapism, because now you're forgetting the rest of your day.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer at that point of, well, I can just escape for a little bit, and then I'll be okay. Or I'll just escape a little bit, and then I'll come back. Or I'll escape for a little bit, and then they'll just put it down. It's
the binging. It's the all or nothing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I find myself guilty, especially of binging series. Like, I'll watch a TV show. Like, we'll both watch a TV show all day.
Yeah.
And we'll know, okay, well, I just did that.
So I did that the other day where I was trying to organize my room, and I was playing video games. Like, okay, I play a little bit, pause, go over, do, you know, 15 minutes, then I give myself a present for doing all the hard things. Yay. Right? And then suddenly, 4 hours later into the game, and I'm like, oh no, it's dinner time. I'm just not going to clean my room. and that happens a lot where, or if I have to do something and it's not difficult, it's like paying a parking ticket. You just have to go onto a website you've never gone on before, hopefully, and pay a parking ticket. But for whatever reason, because it is not in the rhythm of your life, you decide that that thing is too difficult to do. And so now, oh no, I have to do this thing. No, I don't. I'm going to play 12 hours of Overwatch and then 3 hours of a survival game and then go to bed.
I am equally guilty of, if I find an excuse for not doing a thing, I will not do it. The biggest excuses are, of course, well, I have to call them. Or, are they open now? No? Okay.
Bummer.
Oh, I called them. Oh, the phone, it's ringing. Oh, it's ringing so many times, they're not picking up. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess I will call them tomorrow. I am very guilty of that. That is my, if I had to have a single, like, distraction vice, that's it, is being able to come up with any excuse.
And look, I'm not shaming escapism because I think there's a beauty that it is hard to find beauty and happiness and lightness when you're depressed. And if you find a little bit of that in your escapism, I get it. And I don't want you to feel bad for doing it. But if you start noticing that it's day after day after day and it's affecting your job and your relationships, etc., then maybe take a step back.
I play Dungeons and Dragons. I play Dungeons and Dragons fairly often. Mm-hmm. I used to play it a lot more often.
With a live group of people?
With a live group of people in a room.
Okay.
And it was one of the best forms of escapism that one could ever ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for people who have any sort of experience in acting or theater or improv. This is like, oh yeah, just get that needle, just stick in that sweet D&D right into my blood bank. And it's I've seen people who, yeah, that is a thing that they do to escape, and that's great. It is very helpful for a lot of people, especially people who suffer from anxiety and they want to place themselves into a character who does not. That, to me, is one of the most amazing things I have ever seen happen at a session. It's just like somebody who's normally very quiet, timid, they suddenly become this badass barbarian chick, or they're like this wizard who has complete and total authority over the powers that be. And you take those kind of people and you give them that kind of an escape, and it helps them. It genuinely helps them. But on the other end of the spectrum, you get those people who get so into the game, they forget that it's a game. And I've dealt with people like that, too.
Where it becomes this entire world, where it's like, when's the next time we can play? What, you know, they draw the character obsessively, that kind of thing?
It's not even just that. I mean, drawing your character obsessively, sure. That's
I'm just wondering what your...
My experience more has to do with something may be happening in somebody's real life, but that takes second place to the game.
In their opinion.
They're taking precedence to the game over everything else that's happening.
Mm.
And that's where it becomes, that's where it becomes, in my opinion, a fault in escapism. The notion that the rest of us don't matter.
Mm.
The rest of reality doesn't matter. The game's what matters. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
That's where it loses the humanity involved in, say, a good old roleplay session.
Right. Yeah. And this is where having a therapist that you go to every week is really helpful. Because you have somebody who touches base with you. Like, what have you been doing this week? How was work? How was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I have not gone to a therapist now in a few months. She's on vacation. And as you can tell, it's not great for me. No, that's not to say I didn't go into depression when I had a therapist, but I feel like my vices are starting to take over my life. A little bit. A
little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
But that will... I go through cycles, I've noticed. That's like a circular pattern with me. So
of course, yeah. I think we can all agree, like, those kinds of patterns are difficult to break. They are they are very much in accordance with who we are as people.
Yeah.
Like, that's... some people will just have that, where they cycle back and forth.
And it's, for me, it's dependent on the energy level that I have.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
I'm still kind of trying to figure out how to really move into that new territory of actually giving a shit about myself again, because it's a difficult journey to go on when you've made a very firm commitment for 2 years to not give a shit about yourself, and then all of a sudden one day you just go, no, maybe I should actually start taking care of myself. I wonder how that would plan out. Oh, look, it's a salad. Oh, should I deep fry it? No. That's the direction that my brain is just now kind of trying to fit into of, no, don't fall into that cycle again.
I have a question for you. Fix it.
Yeah, what's up?
So, when you do start feeling, well, let's see, how do I... So, when you find yourself being like, okay, I need to do self-love or whatever, like, take care of myself better, is there something that your brain tries to switch you to escape from that thought?
Absolutely.
What do you do?
For me, at least, I think that when I start, I get into that fiery mood. I get into like a, you know what, I'm sick of feeling this way. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time to fucking do something about it. Mm-hmm. And then I get all pumped up and I'm like, yes, starting tomorrow.
And that's, so you push it off. And you escape into back into whatever you're doing right then.
Fall into comfort.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that we as human beings do better than anything else on the planet? We love being comfortable.
Cozy, wozy. Yes, that's true.
So, as a result, I escape into comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than letting that escape just linger for a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, it is damn permanent almost, and it's annoying at this point, which is honestly kind of nice. It's kind of nice that my comfort is annoying me.
Good.
That's a good first sign for me.
a good sign of change is it being things becoming uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Change is uncomfortable. When people think that, oh, I'm going to be getting healthy, I'm going to feel more comfortable as I get healthy, you won't.
No.
It will be very, very, very uncomfortable because you are changing your thought patterns, you're changing things that you're comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that I do for escapism is listen to TED Talks. And not just one or two. I will sit and I will watch as many as I can to soak in as much genius information as I can. And there's just so many good ones. I can't even begin to list them. I mean, I guess I could, but we only have so much time in the day. And I definitely recommend if you feel yourself needing to escape, this is why I started watching TED Talks, was to try to escape into something that can maybe teach you something, give you some positive stuff. Because video games are video games and TV is TV. But actually gleaning some kind of information makes me feel good also about the fact that I'm spending hours watching, you know, a TED Talk or something. What about you? What's another thing you escape into?
Oh, my absolute favorite thing is... So I think a couple weeks ago I said wholesome memes was our feel-good thing of the week.
Yeah.
I have the antithesis of wholesome memes.
Oh.
This is a subreddit called 2meIRL, 4meIRL.
Say that one more time.
The number 2, meIRL, 4, the number 4, that is, meIRL.
In real life.
So this is, 2 me in real life, 4 me in real life.
Got it.
And it is the depression meme subreddit.
Oh my god.
This is I swear, there is nothing more relatable at this point in my life, and every single thing that I see posted on here. Things such as the top post for today, which was a picture of Geodude from Pokemon, used self-destruct, and it is a picture of him drinking heavily and smoking while looking absolutely miserable. And things like when the robber keeps talking about how he's going to shoot you, and it's an old man pointing at his watch impatiently. Things like this, where there's a lot of talk on this subreddit, just in the most literal sense of, I want to die, but not yet.
Right. Super dark humor. Incredible. For the depressed, by the depressed.
Yeah. Things like, yeah, sex is cool, but have you ever sat in your room alone in the dark wondering how many of your friends and family don't actually like you because of your mental illness that pushes everyone away and makes you easily agitated and depressed all the time and there's nothing you can do about it?
Oh, so that's like been me the last week and a half.
Hey, look at that. It's you.
Hey, me. That's really relatable and awful. Great. Yeah.
Ta-da! The aristocrats. That is right there. That to me, it's terrible, mm-hmm. and it embraces the darkest sense of humor that we can generate as depressed people, where we're just going, no, trust me, we can get dark.
Yes.
We can go darker.
Oh, we have a humor.
We got it. You just go right ahead. And finding that relatability in that community is mm-hmm. enough to just kind of push us onward of just like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, thank God for community.
Yeah.
So thank you guys again so much for listening to this podcast. And next week,
we are actually going to start, we're going to go into something kind of dark, but something that I feel is very important.
Me too.
And it ties into this week's episode quite a bit. It is empathy and depression vis-a-vis selfishness. Basically, why depression seems selfish. And I feel like a lot of folks get that really ingrained in their head mm-hmm. really early on in their depression, that what I'm doing is selfish.
Yes.
And what I'm doing has no place because I should be less selfish.
Yeah. So again, thank you so much for listening, and we hope you join us again next week. And look below for the Feel Good link of the week. So today we have a magical gift for you. We have two TED Talks. Mine is Inside the Mind of a Master Procrastinator.
And mine is going to be My Obsession with Objects and the Stories They Tell.
So we hope that you enjoy them and go ahead and escape a little bit with us. And we will talk to you next week.
And as always, don't tell us to just get over it.